I'm pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so I've been talking about Theros Beyond Death, and I'm up to green. So we start today with the Binding of the Titans. So one and a green, so two mana total, one of which is green. It's an enchantment saga. It's a saga enters, and after your draw step, add a lore counter, sacrifice after chapter 3. Chapter 1, each player puts the top 3 cards of the library into their graveyard. Chapter 2, exile up to 2 cards from graveyards. For each creature card exiled this way, you gain a life. And then Chapter 3, return target creature or land card from your graveyard to your hand. Okay, so this is pretty simple. One of the things that I talked about on another podcast is the Titans. I know when Ethan was doing the set in Vision Design, one of the things we were looking for is, what are cool things that are part of Greek mythology that we hadn't done in the first Theros, Theros, Born of the Gods, and Journey to Nyx. And the idea of the Titans was something we hadn't done. And so, I'll get to the actual Titans in a second, but this is the story about the Titans. Anyway, it's a pretty simple thing. It self-mills, which is something we let green do from time to time. Black and blue are allowed to mill the opponent. Green is allowed to mill itself occasionally. And we often do stuff like mulch and things where it's like it looks for something and then the rest go in the graveyard. And then you get to exile stuff out of the graveyard. Once again, it's something that green can do. Black is number one in exile in the graveyard. Green and white get to do it some. And if you're exiling creatures, you get to gain life. So life gain's a green thing. And then you get to return something. Green has regrowth, so normally when green returns something, it's anything, but for flavor purposes, they made it creature or land. So, but this is a nice, clean, simple little design. I like it. Okay, next, Destiny Spinner. So Destiny Spinner costs one and a green, so two mana total, one of which is green. It's a 2/3 creature, enchantment creature, it's a human. Creatures and enchantment spells you control can't be countered. And then for 3 and a green, target land you control becomes an XX elemental with trample and haste until end of turn, where X is the number of enchantments you control. It's still a land. So this is one of the interesting things about making enchantment matters is finding different ways to make enchantment matters. And so the idea here is it does two things. One is it keeps them from being countered, applies to creatures and spells just to give it a little more utility. And it allows you to sort of animate your lands equal to the number of enchantments. So the idea is if you're playing a bunch of enchantments, and note that this is an enchantment, so at bare minimum, just having this out means you can turn lands into 1/1s, because this is an enchantment. But the idea, if you're playing a heavy enchantment deck, yes, this allows you to start animating your lands and making them bigger and bigger. Okay, the first Iroan Games. 2 and a green, so 3 mana total, one of which is green. It's an enchantment saga. It's got 4 chapters. Chapter 1, create a 1/1 human soldier token. Chapter 2... put 3 +1/+1 counters on target creature you control. Chapter 3, if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, draw 2 cards. And then Chapter 4, create a gold token. So obviously, Iroa is our version of Athens. So this is us making this is the Olympics, right? We're trying to make a toy of the Olympics. The Olympics originally came out of Athens. So the idea is we're doing our version of that. And it's kind of fun, like the people show up, and then some of them show feats of strength, and then if you have a bigger creature, you get to draw cards. So the idea is you make a 1/1, you can put the 3 +1 counters on the 1/1, making a 4/4, which then would trigger Chapter 3. Although you can mix it up, so like there's clearly a plan that you can follow, and that plan will get you there. But anyway, it's just doing a lot of different green things. Green gets to make tokens. Green gets to put +1/+1 counters on things. Green gets to draw cards tied to creatures. And then green, the gold token, I mean, green makes... I think the gold token's more for flavor than anything else. The idea at the end that you get your gold medal. Next is Hydra's Growth. So Hydra's Growth costs 2 and a green, so 3 mana total, one of which is green. It's an enchantment, an aura, enchant creature. When Hydra's Growth enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on enchanted creature. At the beginning of your upkeep, double the number of +1/+1 counters on enchanted creature. So this is a card after my own heart. I may or may not made this card, I don't remember. But so the idea essentially is that when this enters the battlefield, you get to put a counter on it, plus and plus one counter, and then it doubles at the beginning of every upkeep. So the idea is I put it on my creature, put a counter on it, the next turn, before they can attack, obviously, at the beginning of my turn, instead of one counter, goes up to two, so now it's plus two, then it'll be plus four, then plus eight, it grows fast. So anyway, if you don't know that I love doubling, I do love doubling. And Hydras are known about, are tied to growth, so that's kind of cool. Okay, next, Clothis design. Clothis is the red-green god that had disappeared, that Xenagos took the place of. We now learn that they were in the underworld. Clothis design, 5 green, sorcery. So 6 mana total, one of which is green. Creatures you control get +X until end of turn, where X is your devotion to green. So this is our version of Overrun. So Overrun is a spell, I think, for Shroud of Tempest, that all your creatures get +2/+3 and trample. And so the idea here is kind of doing a Overrun for devotion. It doesn't grant trample because it can get pretty big, but it is a good finisher, especially for a heavy green deck that would, you know, if you have enough green creatures, it both, having green creatures means your devotion goes up, and it means they all get bigger, so it's pretty cool. Okay, Mantle of the Wolf. 3 and a green, enchantment aura, another aura, enchant creature. Enchant creature gets +4/+4. When Mantle the Wolf is put into the graveyard from the battlefield, create two green wolf creature tokens. So one of the issues on auras in general is the offset of card advantage. So this thing says, oh, I put it on my creature. Well, if you kill my creature, so obviously I'll lose 2 cards, and then I'll lose my creature, and I'll lose this enchantment. But when the enchantment dies, it gets replaced by 2/2 wolves. So it grants +4/+4, and then when it dies, that +4/+4 turns into 4 power of wolves, which I think is pretty cool. Next is Nexus Wardens. So Nexus Wardens cost 2 and a green, so 3 mana total, one of which is green. It is an archer. It is a satyr archer. It's a 1/4. It has reach and has constellation. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, gain 2 life. So one of the things about constellation that is a challenge is that you have to do things that are useful whenever, like, whenever you would play an enchantment, it needs to be something that's generally useful. And one of the nice things is life gain. So, you know, whenever we do re-triggerable things, landfall, stuff, life gain is a very clean thing. And usually it's either a white or green. I think in general, well, it depends what you're triggering on. Sometimes it'll be white, sometimes it'll be green. But it's a nice, simple trigger. One of the things that when we're trying to do certain effects, something to think about, like, for example, devotion has to do scalable effects. Constellation has to do effects that are triggering but need to be generally useful. They can't be too situational. And so those kind of mechanics, we do them a lot. And so we start getting an idea of, oh, okay, I need, this is a triggered mechanic, I need things that are generally useful. This is a scaling thing, I need things, you know. And we start to learn, you know, as you do this enough, you start knowing the kinds of effects that you can do. One of the things that's interesting as we design, that there's a lot of repetition of design that people may not think of, that having designed this kind of mechanic before makes it easier to design it again, just because you're more familiar with the patterns. Okay, next, Nylea, Keen-Eyed. 3 and a green, so 4 mana total, one of which is green. She's a legendary enchantment creature, god, 5/6, indestructible. As long as your devotion to green is less than 5, Nylea isn't a creature. Creature spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. 2 and a green, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature card, put it in your hand. Otherwise, you may put it in the graveyard. Okay. Nylea is the green god, the major god in green, the mono green god. She has an affinity for creatures. She likes creatures. So, A, she makes it easier to catch creatures. Also, once again, when you get devotion to 5, she becomes a creature. So, casting creatures, especially if you're casting green creatures, will help, like, her ability helps speed that up to her becoming a creature. And then, she also lets you hunt for creatures. So, I mean, in a good way, not a bad way. Let's look off the top of your library to find them. So, you know, she's very, very creature-oriented, which is pretty cool. Nessian Boar. 3 green, so 5 mana total, 2 which is green. It's a 10/6 boar. It's a creature, obviously. All creatures able to block Nessian Boar do so. And whenever nesting board becomes blocked by a creature, that creature's controller draws a card. Okay, so a couple things going on here. First off, the nesting boar is when Hercules had his 12, what are they called, labors. One of the labors was to capture the nesting boar. So it's a creature from Greek mythology. Might have been the nesting boar. I mean, this is us doing the boar. Anyway, it needs to be something that is big and scary. So the idea of making it a big creature, so like a 10-6, is pretty big and scary. And then it has basically the lure ability. So in Alpha, Richard made a card called Lure. That was an aura. And it's all creatures must block enchanted creature. Nowadays, we don't do full-out lure all that often. Most of the time we do now is what we call a limited lure, which is I must be blocked. Somebody must block me. Not everybody must block me. Not all the creatures must block me. Just someone must block me. But this one is like everybody, so, and it's a 10-6, right? So the idea is that, you know, it's pretty powerful. Now, if you have enough creatures that you can kill it, then okay, you block all your creatures, I'm going to kill a lot of your creatures that you kill this. If not, if you get in chump mode, which can be very frustrating with this thing, that's why there's a negative on it, or negative for the controller, where whenever it's blocked, the controller gets to draw a card. So the idea is, I'm going to be coming through with this thing, but at least if you're chump blocking, it allows you to sort of draw cards to try to have answers to it. Okay. Nexus Wardens. Oh, no. Sorry. I redid Nexus Wardens. I just missed Nessie. Okay, sorry. I went out of order. I apologize for that. Next, Nylea's Intervention. So this is the intervention cycle. X green sorcery. Choose one. Search your library for up to X land cards. Reveal them and put them in your hand. Shuffle your library. Or Nylea's Intervention deals twice X damage to each creature with flying. So now that I see this thing, I do believe that all of them have X and double X, meaning one where X is just X and one where X is a double. I think that was patterned all the way through. Anyway, so this thing can help you find lands, which is something green does, or it can help you deal with flyers, which is something green does. Nyx Herald, 2 and a green, 2/3 centaur shaman. It's a champion creature. At the beginning of your combat in your turn, target enchanted creature or enchantment creature you control gets +1/+1 against trample at the end of turn. So one of the things we did in this set is we connected enchantment creatures with enchanted creatures. So enchantment creatures are creatures that are enchantments. Enchanted creatures are creatures that you put an aura onto. But one of the neat thing is, if I'm making you care about enchantments, I both want you to play enchantment creatures and I want you to play auras. So in this set, we link those together. Normally we don't. Enchantment creatures aren't a thing we normally do. So we can care about enchanted mint creatures and enchanted creatures in a way that makes you care about enchantments in a connective way. The idea is things that are enchanted or things, you know, made of enchantment are something that you get to care about. Okay, Nyx Bloom Ancient, 4 green, enchanted creature, elemental, 5/5, trample. If you tap a permanent for mana, it produces 3 times of that mana instead. So when this showed at the, I was on the vision design team, but this got made, I did not make this card, it got made during set design. So in the slideshow, when this card came up, often what happens is at our Tuesday Magic meetings, some of the time, they're not always this, but sometimes we do our slideshows, and the slideshow is when the set is close to being done. It's the last chance for everybody to look at it, a sanity check, people can make comments and notes, and so it's a chance to sort of make final notes before the set is done. The cards all have their art and everything. They're the as close to final versions of the cards that we can show. And it lets us see it and sort of, it's fun. A, not everybody worked on the set, and B, some people like me, I worked on it, but not near the end, so I get to see what they've done with the set. And it's just a fun experience. But one of the things that happens is there's some yelling things out of the screen. Some of them occasionally are real questions and stuff, but some of them are us just goofing around. So when Nyx Bloom Ancient went up on the screen, I said aloud in the room, I go, wait a minute, you can triple things? Because I'm known for liking to double things. So I'm all excited on the triple. This is a Mythic Rare. I think on Mythic Rare sometimes we're just like, how can we turn it up? How can we go to 11? use a Spinal Tap reference. So anyway, this is, we've done numerous, Mana Flare was an alpha, although it was in red originally. The ability eventually moved up to green. And this is like, how do we take this ability, just turn it up. Normally you double it, or you add one extra. So this is tripling it. So anyway, that is pretty cool. And it's not even legendary. So if you want to get two of them out, you can have 9 times your mana. I mean, okay, it's expensive, but still, it's possible. Okay, Farrah's Band Brawler, 4 green green, so 6 mana total, 2 of which is green. It's a 4/4 centaur warrior. It's a creature. When Farrah's Band Brawler enters the battlefield, it fights up to 1 target creature you don't control. So this card is one of the big conversations we've been having is green creatures entering the battlefield not appropriate for green? And we haven't really resolved it yet. Obviously, we made one here. One of the dangers is that green is supposed to be dependent on creatures for dealing with other creatures. And I know how in a vacuum you're like, oh, well, a creature fights. Well, close a creature fighting another creature. But on some level, you do have a creature, but it does act a lot like a spell. Like our joke is, you know, if you made a 1/1 death type creature that enters the battlefield and fights, that's kind of just a creature destruction spell, you know. I mean, this is not exactly that there's a body, but anyway, we are putting under close scrutiny. I'm not quite sure where we're going to land, but one of the issues with green having we definitely, in the recent past, like just like we're looking at white to figure out how to make white better in certain areas, like commander and stuff, green is something we've stretched a little bit, that we're looking at, have we stretched a little bit too far in some areas, so we're definitely looking, we're looking there. Renata, Call to the Hunt, 2 green green, so 4 mana total, 2 which is green, star 3, it's a legendary enchantment creature demigod, so this is a green demigod. Renata's power is equal to your devotion to green, like I said, all the demigods, their power or their toughness is equal to your devotion. Each other creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it. So, she definitely, kind of like Nylea, encourages you to play a lot of creatures and then gets rewarded off you having a lot of creatures, especially mono green creatures. So the idea is, oh, well, play, you know, make a mono green deck, play lots of green creatures, your creatures will all get bigger. Nope, her ability works on any creatures, not just green, but her devotion to green encourages you to play green, and then she just gets bigger. So that is pretty powerful. Okay, next up. Cetessian Champion. It's a 1/3 human warrior. Has constellation. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Cetessian Champion and draw a card. So this one's pretty good. Once again, we did make the change on the constellation cards that they themselves are enchantments, but that allows us to push things a bit more. So this, not only... there was a card in Journey to Nyx that drew you a card, constellation, draw a card. This one not only draws you a card, but it also makes it bigger, so you get to grow. So you get a growing creature in addition to the card. One of the things that we got asked a lot about is that we say that white gets narrow card drawing, enchantments is narrow, why do we put this in green and not put it in white? I think in retrospect, if we had to do this all over again, I'm not sure we put the rider, the +1/+1 counter necessarily. We might have a different rider because that's a little more green than white, although white can do it a little bit. I do think if we had to do this over again, the card drawer would be in, the constellation card drawer would be in white. Not that green can't do it. Green can do it. But I do think that white could use it a little more, especially in Commander. We are looking for places to do card draw in a way that does feel white. And this is an area where it does, so... I do think in the future we're going to look for more opportunities like that to let white do that. Voracious Typhon. I want to say Typhoon, but that's not what it is. Voracious Typhon. 2 green green, so 4 mana total, 2 which is green. It's a 4/4 snake beast. It's a creature. It's got escape, 5 green green. So exile 4 other cards from your graveyard. And then it escapes with 3 +1/+1 counters. So this is another one of those creatures that just gets a lot bigger. So, like, for example, it's a 4-mana 4/4. That's okay. It's not amazing, but it's okay. But after it dies for 7 mana, along with 4 cards from the graveyard, you get a 7/7. So it's a 4. It's 4/4/4/4/4 that then on becomes a 7/7. I'm sorry. A 4-mana 4/4 that becomes a 7-mana 7/7. Now, given each time you bring it back, you got to do 4 cards. So that is... that's a resource. You can't bring it back infinitely. But I think it's a pretty fun escape creature. Okay. Okay, so I've got it into gold now. So, Acolyte of Affliction. So, 2 black-green. So, 4 mana total. 1 of which is black, 1 of which is green. It's a human cleric, 2/3 human cleric creature, obviously. When Acolyte of Affliction enters the battlefield, put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard. Then you may return a permanent card from your graveyard to your hand. Okay, so what it does is it's self-milling. I said something green can do. And then green can regrow. So green can regrow whatever it wants. Regrowing a permanent is fine. So the idea is it self-mills and it lets you regrow a permanent. The reason this is black-green is... self-milling can be done in black and green, and blue, for that matter. But both black and green can self-mill. And returning a permanent card to your hand, black normally just does creatures where green can do anything. So, but the idea of I self-mill, which black does more than green, and I can regrind something, is something that is definitely playing an overlap between black and green. You're getting back a little more than you would in mono black. But the idea that you're getting a permanent is trying to feel like it's a combination between black and green. The other thing is black and green, this is, I'm pretty sure, the uncommon signature spell. So one of the things we do for drafting purposes is most sets, we will make a cycle of uncommon gold cards, 2-color gold cards, that sort of reinforce the strategy of that color combination and give you a card that helps you with it. So black and green in this set have a focus in the graveyard. They use graveyard as a resource. I'm sure there's some escape. You know, there's a bunch of escape. And so this card is sort of helping you get there. It's helping you sort of, because it's putting stuff in your graveyard, maybe things with escape or resources that you can spend. And then it's also letting you get something back. So it's sort of doing what Black Green does a lot, which is graveyard as a resource of putting things in and taking things out. Okay, next. Ashiok Nightmare Muse. So 3 blue-black. So it's 5 mana total. 1 of which is blue, 1 of which is black. It's a legendary planeswalker. This is Ashiok. So +1, create a 2/3 blue and black nightmare creature token with, quote, whenever this creature attacks or block, each opponent exiles the top 2 cards of the library. So whenever it attacks or block, it mills them for 2. Then it has -3, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand, then that player exiles a card from their hand. So it gets back a non-land permanent. This is something blue can do. And then -7, you may cast up to 3 face-up cards your opponent owns from exile without paying their mana costs. The -3 ability is return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. It's bouncing. Sorry, it's not regrowing. It's bouncing. Then that player exiles a card from their hand. So blue-black has a card called Recoil. So that is Recoil. So that's a blue-black effect. Sorry. And the -7 is it lets you cast up to 3 cards that have been exiled. Now notice you are, when you mill them, instead of to the graveyard, it's exile mill, meaning they exile it. So when you're making your nightmare creatures, they're milling your opponent, which are exiling cards. And then use the second ability, you're making them exile cards from their hand. So the first 2 abilities essentially are building... Oh, I didn't mention this. He starts with 5 loyalty. And so the idea is that he's a... Ashiok is a... Ashiok is a nightmare planeswalker. Their power comes from harnessing nightmares. And so the idea that they make nightmares, the nightmares make people lose stuff from their hand because fear can, you know, drive you insane. And then they can sort of mess with things and make you mess with your memory and bounce things and mess with your memory. And then it can harness those things that are part of your memory. Ashiok can harness them and cast them. So it's a pretty cool card. Okay, next. Aatris, Oracle of Half-Truth. Half-Truths. 2 blue-black, so 4 mana total, 1 of which is blue, 1 of which is black. It's a 3/2 legendary human advisor. It's a creature. It's got menace. When Aatris, Oracle of Truth, enters your battlefield, target opponent looks at the top 3 cards of your library and separates them into a face-down pile and a face-up pile. And then you put one of those piles in your hand and the other in the graveyard. So it's there's a card called Factor Fiction that did this first, where you divvy things, and your opponent has to divvy your cards into two piles. So the interesting thing here is one's face up and one's face down. So you get to play some fun games. Your opponent basically has to sort of, like, no matter what, they're going to divide it into two piles. Odds are it'll be 2-1. I mean, they could do 3-0, but there's no choice. Unless they just want you to have three cards for some reason. There's no real reason to do that. Maybe in a multiplayer game where your opponent is someone who's helping you. But anyway, so it's going to be a 2-1 pile. But your opponent gets to choose what's face up and what's face down. So at bare minimum, you get to draw two cards. No matter what, you can draw two cards. Because they're going to divide into a pile of two and a pile of one. Or even they do 3-0. No matter what, you get two cards. Now, it might be face down. You don't know what you're getting. Versus something face up that maybe you want or don't want. A common trick with this is to put their two best face up cards face up. And their worst cards face down. And then go, oh, wow, those are good cards. Wow, what do they make me not want? And they put it face down, and then their curiosity gets the best of them, and then they get their worst card. So a good little trick. Doesn't always work, by the way, and if your opponent's onto the fact that you might do that, then maybe they just take it. But anyway, assuming the face-up cards have any value, it's a cute trick. Okay, next. Kalix, Destiny's Hand. 2 green-white, Legendary Planeswalker Kalix, Loyalty 4. Plus one, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal an enchantment card from among them and put that card into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in random order. Second ability is -3, loyalty. Exile target creature or enchantment you don't control until target enchantment you control leaves the battlefield. And -7, return all enchantment cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. Okay, so first off, we were on Theros. We really wanted to do a... enchantment-based planeswalker. We were on an enchantment-based world. The only one that we had existed... Like, if you look at artifacts, there's all these planeswalkers that care about artifacts. Tezzeret cares about artifacts. Saheeli cares about artifacts. Karn cares about artifacts. Duretti cares about artifacts. And even stuff like Dak and Dovin all have smaller... You know, so... We've done a lot of artifact-based planeswalkers. We've done one, Estrid, I think, is the only enchantment-based planeswalker we've done. And for franchise reasons, the character didn't make a lot of sense here, so we decided to make a brand new planeswalker that was dedicated to enchantments. We made it green-white because those are the key enchantment colors. So Kalix does 3 things. One is you may search for enchantments, right? You can look at the top 4 cards of your library, get an enchantment. So A... The plus one is you can go find enchantments. The -3 is you can deal with things by sort of turning any of your enchantments into an oblivion ring, essentially. It's like, well, as long as this enchantment sticks around, okay, I get rid of that. You can get rid of creatures or enchantments. And the final one, I made a card back in Urza's Destiny called Replenish, which puts all enchantment cards from the graveyard into play. It's a pretty powerful card. That is Kalix's ultimate. So... the card really just says, hey, play a lot of enchantments. I'll find them for you. I'll use your enchantments as a way to answer problems, and I'll help you get them back later in the game, which is, like I said, having played many Replenish decks in my day, is quite powerful. Okay, guys, so I'm not quite done. I'm close. So hopefully I'll have one more podcast, and I will finish up. But anyway, traffic was pretty good today. So I think I'm gonna wrap up for today. This is a little quicker than normal, though, so you guys get it. Normally, I'm over 30 minutes. Just under 30 minutes today. It's the podcast where low traffic takes away content from you. But anyway, it's almost 30 minutes, so I think we can call it a day. Anyway, I'm at work, so we all know what that means. This is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.